Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are y'all doing?
We're doing all right.
Good.
Well, some big news earlier in the week. Another junior college player has decommitted from the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, Kwesi Brown on Monday became the second guy in about 2 weeks to decommit from Arkansas. Junior college player, as you said. Kwesi called Brett Bielema on Monday. They talked for quite a while, from what I understand, and then the final result was that Brown was being taken off the list. I think it was a significant loss for this year's class, but I will say there's a couple of things to look at here and kind of keep in mind. Kwesi was not going to be here until May, and most of the time you would like your junior college guys to get in here for spring ball and get accustomed here. And Kwesi was just not on track to do that in the classroom. Wasn't going to be able to graduate until May. I think that kind of hurt him. And then another thing I thought was kind of curious, just 24 hours before he announced that he decommitted, he was tweeting about, when he was going to get to Arkansas and how excited he was. So I think it might have been more of a mutual parting of ways than people might think. I don't expect him to be replaced by another junior college cornerback. They've got some guys kind of in their back pocket right now that they feel good about. Cornelius Floyd is a high school guy down in Miami. Ramon Wingo, Ronnie Wingo's brother from St. Louis. Both of these guys are coming in for official visits next month. So they've got some guys, but yeah, it was a, Kwesi was a guy they thought could come in and play next year. It's just not going to work out, it looks like.
Danny, talk about four-star tight end DeAndre Goolsbee. He's going to announce his choice tomorrow.
Yeah, that would definitely be a big shot in the arm for Arkansas. They could, not only for the coaches, but for the fans and even, honestly, for those of us who cover recruiting, it would be a big positive step forward. DeAndre Goolsbee, four-star tight end, is going to announce at around 1:15 tomorrow. So we'll find out what he's going to do there. The good news, I think Arkansas has got a good chance. I'm not going to predict him to go to Arkansas. I think Kansas State and Arkansas will be his final two choices. And I think there's some things that work in Arkansas's favor. First of all, he's been here a few times. Michael Smith, DeAndre told me this past summer, assistant coach here at Arkansas, Michael Smith, used to change his diapers. So very close with him. And then you look at how many passes Arkansas's tight ends have caught compared to that of Kansas State, and it's a significant difference there. Arkansas's throwing it to the tight ends a lot more, so maybe that works in your favor. But DeAndre did visit Kansas State last weekend. That's his home state. His dad played there, so I think it could go either way. We'll find out tomorrow about 1 o'clock.
All right, let's go to Sid in the Rock. Sid, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's financial. I've got a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old grandson, and it costs almost $500 to dress both of them out from head to toe. And as Coach Nutt said, a lot of these families that he goes to are single-parent families. They just don't have that disposable income.
To go and follow their team on the road?
No, I'm talking about little kids. No, little kids when they start at Pee Wee League.
You mean not playing football?
Yeah, they don't have the financial.
That seems like a lot of money. $500 to play Pee Wee football?
Two kids. We have to dress
one. Okay, yeah.
Well, but Sid, now once they get into to school, I mean, that's all provided. The equipment, the jersey.
You got to buy your cleats, $40, $50. Trying to think what else you have to buy.
In some schools, you don't have to even buy that.
I know we had to buy our cleats. In case you wanted to go buy your own, the coaches get a discount for the players. Yeah.
The quality of the headgear looks like it come out of a Cracker Jack box. If you really want to, we had the guy down there at the store tell me, has he got a $50 head or you got a $100 head? And I kind of went ahead and bought the $100 helmet.
I understand your point, Sid. I don't know if I think if you could start at the junior high level, that there is a way that you could make Central Arkansas football better.
Well, I started playing when I was 8 years old. I played Tampa over. Scott Tabor was my quarterback, as a matter of fact. I'm sure Matt knows.
Former Razorback football, baseball player?
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
He's living up in Mountain Home right now.
Yeah, well, he's a good guy. His whole family's good people.
Yes, they are.
Like I said, I just think that a lot of it's financial. If you've got a single mother, she don't have $250 just to fork over to dress out a kid.
I can understand that, Sid. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good day,
guys. All right,
guys.
Appreciate it. Danny, we've been talking a little bit about what's it going to take to get Central Arkansas players, meaning high school football, mm-hmm. back to where it can help benefit the University of Arkansas. And before you answer, I would like to give credit where credit is due to Kev and The Rock. Some of those Central notables, those 2 years when they were able to beat Springdale, you had Clark Irwin, Dedrick Poole, Stuart Franks, Kevin Thornton, Freddie Fairchild, and Fred Bledsoe on that team.
Yeah, I think it's a cycle thing. We see it a lot every decade. You could probably look back and see an up cycle and a down cycle from, you know, all across Arkansas. But right now it's definitely a down cycle in Central Arkansas. I think we do probably have some kids running the streets or running the hallways, not even playing athletics right now. And of course, that hurts you, but you've always dealt with that. My biggest thing on this topic has always been, you know, the state of Arkansas is not a very heavily populated state. We've always been a small state, always will be. But I guess this is the problem we're talking about. You've got to have the populated areas in your state producing, and right now it's just in a down cycle. You know, in the last 5 recruiting classes, Arkansas has signed 3 kids from Central Arkansas. That's a problem. They went 2 years in a row where they didn't even offer a kid from Central Arkansas. Now, I'm not sure I'm answering your question. I'm just expounding on the problem, I guess. But, my goodness, I don't know what it's going to take, but, you know, something's got to give. Being able to get 10 kids out of the state as opposed to 5 years as it's going right now, that would be huge for the program. I look at Junction City, a population of about 900 people in South Arkansas. They've put out more players over the last 3 years than the whole area of Central Arkansas. That's a huge, huge problem and something that I don't have the answer to fix, but it's, boy, you'd sure like to see it get fixed.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it wouldn't be a thing if Junction City had one class, you know, if they had 3 seniors 1 year that were really, really good. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying over 5 years, the Central Arkansas, the area should be putting out more players, and we have a live fan feedback, Danny, about Will Gregg at Pine Bluff. Arkansas still on him, or what's the latest with Will Gregg?
Oh, yeah, they're going to stay on Will right up until he signs in 2 years or whenever that might be. But, Will Gregg, I think he's going to Alabama this weekend for the LSU game, so he's going to be taking a lot of trips over the next 2 years. You're going to hear about him showing up at, you know, Ole Miss games, LSU, Alabama, all these different schools. So he's going to take his time, but Arkansas has let it be known he's their top tight end prospect for the class of 2015. So nothing's changed there. He's still receiving a lot of mail from Arkansas, talking to him about once a week. They're still very much in the mix.
Is that Ty Story's class?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Ty Story was up here for the Auburn game this past weekend. I looked up, and every time I saw Ty, he was chasing Will Gregg and K.J. Hill, who was also in the class of 2015. So Ty Story's a smart kid. He knows he needs those two, so he's doing his best.
Let's go to Johnny in El Paso. Johnny, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Thanks, guys. One thing I'm wondering about before I get to any comments is, what about insurance policy? Does the school have to pay in case a student-athlete is injured? When I played football, my coach, even though I needed a knee, hip to ankle knee brace or brace for a severe ACL injury, wouldn't provide it. And I just did without it. And I'm wondering if, a parent, or especially with single parents, if their child is hurt, how they could afford to be able to pay for their child's health care.
When I was at Northside, we had a trainer, and then in Van Buren, they had a trainer, and he would be there sometimes on game day, But not every practice. A lot of time, an assistant coach had to know how to tape an ankle, something like that. But there was always that stuff was provided for.
Well, I guess one reference in guys would be like medical bills, a family that may already be impoverished. But, you know, when I read the Evan Dimeroff article recently about this, and it got me to thinking, how many positive role models, male role models, do many of these kids have that football would look like something that they would be enticed to do? Also, too, another thing that I would think about, too, would be with these kids, many of them, I could see the Junction City guys, many of them probably work jobs that are physical, but especially in areas like Little Rock, do you see many guys working in jobs that can prepare them physically for the rigors of two-a-days? It would be tough for many of them probably to, and they realize it would probably be tough for them to make it through practice because they probably don't have the role models that would tell them, hey, you need to work out. They probably don't see their parents working out either, and it gets passed down to the from the parent to the child like that.
That's a valid point, Johnny. Thanks
a lot. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. Let's go to DJ in The Rock. DJ, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Real quick, I got 3 points, and I guess, Matt, you guys, my first point is in regards to the talent in the Central Arkansas area, I'm really tired of the excuses and the cop-outs as far as either guys being undersized or not necessarily this. There's talent right here in Central Arkansas. I can name several players that the Razorbacks have passed up on or some of the schools didn't offer because the guy was a few inches shorter.
And I agree with you, Trey. Who's the point guard that we both thought Arkansas?
IJ Reddy.
That they said he's too small?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And he got is he going to Ole Miss? Or?
He's at a Mississippi State.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to mention, well, and this was more or less also on the in regards to the football size. Right now, Arkansas, the deficiencies at the linebacker, they had a chance to get a guy named Brian Anderson from Little Rock Central a couple of years ago. They passed on him.
But
there's a guy.
DJ, Jarvis, I don't think Brian would have been eligible.
Didn't have the grades.
Is that was the situation?
That is my understanding of that situation.
I saw a running back from Little Rock, Arkansas that was playing for Indiana. Can't think of his name, but he was a senior, and I just remember flipping the channels about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Indiana was playing, and a guy had to carry and said from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, and there's another guy right now, Jarvis Cooper from West Memphis. And the reason why I say that, guys, I get out and watch a lot of the high school
games. Jarvis Cooper is huge.
Yeah, he's that dude there. I got to see him play against Central, and not only is he a heck of a running back, but I was like, this dude's linebacker, he played position very well. And let me give you all an example of something. Just, you know, Jerry Green from Little Rock, he went to Mississippi Valley State. He wasn't offered. He was a little bit shorter, a little undersized as far as on the height. Now, when you got a guy that can turn around, okay, and he played on a mediocre team in Central, that guy went to a swag school, then left after a year or two. Went to Arkansas. Not only was he able to walk on, but from my understanding, he earned a scholarship. And I'm gonna tell you guys something. I went and watched this Bijan Jackson guy from El Dorado. I saw him get dominated by the guards and tackles. I think Trey Biddy or somebody was like, "Oh well, that's just one game." Whatever. I've seen a lot of high school football over the 20 years. I played against the Steelers and Bob, so I can tell you what's a good player and what's not a good player.
DJ, so, I understand, but I think we need to let the coaches, that it's their job, they're the ones getting paid the big bucks, let them make the decisions. Because
they're dependent on recruiting services, and they have people out there. There's a lot of favoritism because the Little Rock schools are not competing at a championship level. There's a lot of kids that are getting passed. The talent is spread out. It's more than just good players at Pulaski Academy, more than good players at North Little Rock, it's more than good players that's just at Central, a few schools. There are some players. Darren McFadden, for instance, came from. Look at where he came from.
Oak Grove.
Oak Grove had a losing record, but he stood out. And just say, for instance,
so
there
you go, DJ. These players need to stand out.
Right, and
they're not standing out.
Right, but they're going to the camps. Just say, for instance, Logan Moraine from Little Rock Central went to the same camp that Juwan Day went to. And other schools were offering this guy, Memphis, I think Missouri is evaluating him, and everything.
So, DJ, you said Memphis offered him, and Missouri is evaluating him.
Yeah.
If Arkansas is going to beat out Memphis for a player.
Yeah, this is my thing. Look at the fact, the players that are standing out up there for the Razorbacks are Arkansas kids. Arkansas kids are going to be a little bit more dedicated. They're going to work hard. And more than anything, they're going to show heart. Even if you offer some of these guys, the guys that are here, that they're not putting money into the public school athletic programs, they don't have the weight rooms, they don't have enough coaches on the staff because of these money or provisions within the school district. Take these kids, redshirt them. You got four kids. If you're in Central Arkansas tonight, go watch the North Little Rock and Central football game. You're going to see all the speed and athleticism, some of the best in the state, out there on the field.
DJ, now, you mean to tell me,
okay, just say, for instance, the guy from North Little Rock, they talking about how small their quarterback is, but this dude runs a 4.3. You know, that one of the top cornerbacks in the state. And they talk about he's a couple of inches. He's better than what they got up there right now.
If a kid runs a 4.3, I would have an invitation for him to come up to camp. I'd want to evaluate him and see him in person.
Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
And this is the last thing I'm going to say on that. And like I say, you know, if you got three or four guys that you got a state championship relay team, if you got four of these guys that can move and do something with the ball out of space, somebody, look at Trendon Holiday. He was undersized. You can get somebody, if they're running on a 4x100 thing and you're not offering them a scholarship, you could, and from what I understand, these kids got good grades.
DJ, thank you very much.
And football players, all shapes and sizes.
Danny, can you hang on?
Yes.
All right, we're going to put Danny on hold. We'll come back to him after the break as well. Let's go back to the Arkansas Mailing Services hotline and rejoin Danny West of HogSports.com. Danny, thanks for giving us a couple of more minutes today. Let's head to Tina in Benton. Tina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to put a little quick bite in. The gentleman that called, I think right before the young man, DJ, I think that was his name. But the gentleman that called that was talking about the insurance players and things like that, he kind of hit a sore spot with me being a single parent. It appeared to me like he was making the assumption that if you have a single parent, a female, with a young man, that he's not going to be interested in sports. But that's wrong. There is a lot of single parents, I being one of them, whose son ran track, played baseball, played football, and there are a lot of other single women I know that just because the father is not present does not mean that they do not have a male figure in their life, whether it's uncles, friends, fathers, their best friends in school, their dad, whenever they're over there, they're practicing. They're playing sports with their friends and with their friend's dad. It's not just because you're a single parent and a woman that your son is not going to be interested in sports. I mean, I love sports. I am a football fanatic and basketball. And my son loves sports, and his father could give two cents. But my whole family likes sports, and our friends did. But I don't know. He just kind of hit a sore spot with me, and that's all I got to say.
Tina, thanks. Thanks for calling and thanks for listening.
I appreciate it. Y'all are great.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's go to Tim in Clinton. Tim, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Thanks, Matt, for taking my call, too. No one of your old high school
teachers at Fort Smith graduated with me from Ashdown, Mr. Hyatt.
Yeah.
So we'll have to get together and trade some war stories next time you see him. You just can't believe what he tells you about me, though. That's
all right.
The only catch.
All right.
But great you're on the show. Listen, on this thing, Little Rock, you hit the nail on the head. It's going to take from the junior high programs, even looking at the middle schools, looking at the grade configurations of those schools and putting the resources in to do that. I was able to visit with Barry Lenning Jr. at Bentonville and just talking with him about, you know, Bentonville didn't used to be that great of a football program, you know, back in the day. But when he got there and his dad was there, I mean, they recognized what they needed to do with that school district athletically. And it's going to take that kind of leadership from the administration, you know, in Little Rock and Pulaski County and even North Little Rock. But it's going to take some time. It's nothing that can be turned around. There's various things that you can look at. But, you know, this is something that probably would take 3 to 5 years to get done in terms of, you know, looking at facilities and schools and things. And again, there are a lot of other bigger issues that these schools face and these districts face other than just the athletics and the academics. But, you know, it can be done. But I agree also with you and Trey and all that. You know, if you've got an athlete there and you're looking at a lower-tier Division I school, you know, Arkansas is not going to – it's probably going to pass on that. I mean, they're going to have to look for the best of the best. Maybe you guys can comment on this about with Coach Allen being the high school coordinator, what typically his schedule might be. Is he coming into Central Arkansas? Is he going down into, you know, Southeast Arkansas?
Tim, he can't recruit.
I mean, he can't recruit, but he can build those relationships.
Well, you've got Barry Lunny Jr. on staff that – Danny, correct me if I'm wrong. He's the recruiting coordinator, correct?
Chris Hauser is the recruiting coordinator. Bobby Allen's kind of your on-campus high school relations guy. He does not go out and recruit. Barry Lunny, on the other hand, he covers the whole state of Arkansas, so he's the guy that goes out and sees, you know, these guys each Friday.
And that's what I'm saying about building relationships. Maybe Coach Allen with these high school coaches kind of take a page from what Gus kind of did with A-State, because I think that's what it's going to take. There are some bigger issues at Central Arkansas, but until there's some leadership in place to really address that and kind of look at a whole picture kind of thing with athletics at those campuses, you know, there's a lot of these other schools, too. I don't know if you visited some of the schools, the high schools in Little Rock School District, but, you know, they're not the safest campuses to be on as well when you walk through and you see as many security people as you do, you know, faculty and staff that are there. I think they can do it, but I don't think right now, from a perspective of it being that much of a priority with these districts, that they're going to do. But they can. I mean, it can be done, and it's to the benefit of those students, you know, more so outside of with academics and athletics. But it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some leadership. And I thank you guys for, you know, bringing up this discussion and having, you know, people comment, because who knows, somebody might be listening and might be able to take it to the next level. But I appreciate it. Like your show in the afternoon, and y'all take care.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call. Danny, let's go to Ethan. He has a question for you. Ethan and Atkins.
Yeah, Trey, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Danny, there's a young man at Atkins named Alex Spradlin. He's our quarterback. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's not big-time Division I, I know that, but I was just wondering if you know if anybody might be looking at him.
What class is he in?
He's a junior.
Okay.
He's quarterback and free safety.
Okay. No, sir, I really don't know anything about him. I'll take his name down here. I'll look into him and give him a shout and see what's up.
Hey, Coach Cody at the, you know, at Atkins, and see if he can get with you or anything. So, I mean, he's a good kid. I mean, you know, great. You don't have to worry about him making the grades. He's 4-point, you know, and a good athlete, plays baseball, basketball, plays everything. Had a great season as our quarterback. But, and I know it takes a whole lot to go big time football, but you know, I just wish somebody would look at this kid and at least give him a chance. So, anyway, I appreciate it, Danny.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Ethan. Thank you. Danny, you said that Arkansas has offered two more in-state prospects. Who are those?
Right. Trey, let me jump in real quick and go back to what DJ said. It's been eating me alive ever since the break. First of all, Bijan Jackson, if he was dominated, you know, in any game this season, I want the names of the guys who dominated him because I don't buy it at all. I think Brett Bielema and Chris Hauser, as soon as they walked on campus, they named Bijan Jackson their number one prospect. I think that I'll go with their evaluation of Bijan more than DJ's, even though he's seen, you know, football for decades. Second of all, Central Arkansas kids, I'm with you. I think there's some kids sometimes that you miss them because they're an inch short. They're a step slower. Martrell Spate's a prime example, too, just like Jared Green. You pass on him the first time around, but 2 years later he's good enough for you under a different coaching staff. I know there's guys like that, but for the most part, you know, I hear so many times that, you know, this kid's good enough for Arkansas and he's good enough. They're just missing on him. Well, a lot of teams are missing on him then because they don't have any other offers to choose from. Mm-hmm. I love Kevin Alexander as much as anybody in the world. Arkansas Tech and Henderson State are his offers. Jarvis Cooper, Memphis has offered. Arkansas State, Logan Moraine there at Little Rock Central, Memphis has offered. If I got on here next week and said, guys, Arkansas has offered these kids, and, you know, people would eat me alive and say, well, look at his other offers. We haven't beat anybody for him. So you can't have it both ways. Bottom line is Central Arkansas and really other parts of the state, Fort Smith, no offense, Matt, your heavily populated areas are just not getting it done. But
North Side's a lot like the Central Arkansas areas. There were better athletes, and that was going to bring me to my next point with you, Danny, that Spates, did he not have the grades, though? Is that why he had to go JUCO? Because, like I said, the best athlete I played with in high school didn't have the grades. So I think coaches a lot of times look at that, and if a kid does not have the grades or he's iffy when he's a junior in high school, they kind of stay away. I mean, they can't offer all these kids that aren't going to make the grades.
Right. And Martrell, I really couldn't tell you that was before I went full-time recruiting. So his recruitment was before my time. But, you know, he may not have had the grades, but I know he didn't have very many options. And grades may have been the reason for that at the time. But I'll make it up to you here, Matt. Arkansas did offer Datron Dean of Fort Smith Northside. So there's a kid that's coming out of Fort Smith for you in the class of 2015, defensive lineman, Datron Dean, 6'3", 245. He came up here to camp this summer, good-looking kid, still going to get a lot bigger. And then 2016, running back, just a sophomore, Denzel Mitchell of Jonesboro, also picked up an Arkansas offer earlier this week. I think he's in the same mold as, you know, your Mike Dyers, Alty Tenpenny's, really highly recruited guy, still got a long way to go, and I think he's gonna have a lot of options to choose from.
Let me say this real quick, Danny, and then I've got a quick question for you before we hit the next break and we have to let you go.
Okay.
Mikael McKay, there's a kid that a lot of other schools would have been on, but they were not. There was something there that they saw that they did not go after him. And what has happened? He had to leave the Arkansas program because he couldn't keep the grades up. Real quick, Frank Ragno tweets his top six in no certain order: Florida State, Arkansas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Miami, Ohio State. Talk about Frank Ragno real quick.
I feel very good about Arkansas's chances as of today, but Ragno still has four more official visits to take, so you never know what's going to happen. I did have one current commitment tell me they feel like he's going to be a Razorback. So we'll wait and see. Still got to fight off a few more visits, though. But things look very good right now.
Danny, as always, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.